And with that, I have invited today Stephen Lindstedt to talk to us about his new book, The Scalar Heart Connection, and to talk about his upcoming workshop this Saturday at Ambiance in the Gold Country Mall in Auburn. Stephen has a doctorate in natural health, is a certified nutritional consultant, and studied energetic medicine in Germany. So welcome, Stephen, and it's a pleasure to have you here tonight at the Voice of the Foothills. And I want to ask you before, you know, I want to get to know you a little bit more. I'm sure everyone here is curious to know how you got into this path of healing and emotions, and how long have you been involved in this type of work?
Well, thank you, Marielena. It's just a great pleasure to be here. And to answer your question, I'm embarrassed to say that it's been over 20 years. I was living the normal corporate life, just minding my own business, working hard, trying to keep up in the world. And one day, I woke up with a very acute, what I thought was an appendicitis. I was just absolutely doubled over in pain. So much so that I drove myself directly to the emergency room, and where they diagnosed me as having an appendicitis, although there wasn't a conclusive test for that, but they suspected that that was the case and wanted to immediately schedule me for surgery the next morning.
No doubt.
Yeah. So I went home and I started to think about that, and I told a friend of mine what had just happened, and he said, you know, I know this Chinese doctor, an energy doctor, and if I were you, I would go see him. So I called him. It was actually late in the evening, and he answered, and I explained to him what had happened. And over the phone, he said, no, you don't have an appendicitis. You should come and see me right now. So I got in the car, and I drove over to see him. And what he did, he sat me down, and he started moving his hands up and down the spine of my back and said, how's that? After about 5 minutes of moving his hands up and down, he said, how's that?
How's that?
Yeah. I said, well, how's that? I mean, that's kind of weird. What do you mean, how's that? And he said, well, no, how is your pain? And I paused and realized that, gosh, I was no longer doubling over in pain, that I felt kind of good. And he said, well, let me do some more. So there he was again, running his hands up and down my back. And
did he touch you?
No, he never touched me.
Mm-hmm.
In about 5 minutes, he asked me again how I was doing, and I understood the question. And I started to poke around in my intestines, in the area that I had pain, and I could not find any pain unless I poked really, really, really hard. I stood up, and I was amazed. I said, what just happened here? What did you do? And he said that you must be under some financial stress.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, yeah, just been recently divorced, and yeah, I might be going through some financial difficulties, as a lot of people in that situation do. And he explained that my large intestine was resonating with the fear and the anxiety of this, the vibration of money problems, and that was basically causing an organ rejection situation, and the pain was the rest of my intestines trying to get rid of the large intestine. Now, since then, I began studying everything I could about energy medicine and about mm-hmm. vibration. I left for Germany. I studied years there to understand everything I could about it. And looking back, I realized that in Chinese energy medicine, the large intestine is the element of metal representing money.
Mm-hmm.
So it started to make sense to me what was going on.
Fascinating. Yeah. So you've been 20 years working with energy medicine, but you also are a naturopath or certified nutritional consultant. So you are very broad, and somehow you really work with the emotions. And I had a chance to read parts of most of your new book. I understand that is in print now.
Yes.
Correct. And that's the name, Scalar Heart Connection book. And I read there a very lovely quote by Albert Einstein that says, The intuitive mind is a sacred gift of the rational mind, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. So tell me a little bit more what brought you to this quote to open up the book with.
Well, I would have to agree with Einstein's assessment that Western culture in many ways has lost its connection with intuition, but more so with the spirit of nature, with the spirit of being connected with each other. That was half a decade ago when Einstein was saying this. And I think when we look around now, we see that we have become even more isolated in our thinkingness, in our rational mind approach to things, so much so that we have neglected our planet, neglected our environment. And I think when we do that, what I'm finding is that we create disease, we create states of, unhealthy environments, both physically and also for the planet.
Absolutely. And so your workshop this weekend on Saturday at the Auburn Gold Country Mall, it's going to talk to people how to listen to their heart, or what is it exactly?
Yes, it is going to be a full day of fun. It's going to be a day of getting back in touch with our hearts and with the language of our hearts. We have been so preoccupied with the servant that we have actually lost or forgotten how to communicate. What is the language of the part, okay, of the heart?
Okay, but when I took your workshop a while ago, I learned how to cut through all the emotional stuff and get in touch with my heart self, who has all the real truth of what I really perceive and how to understand all the situation that really holds me back in my life.
In the workshop and in the book, I try to show people how the heart is the interface between what I call universal intelligence and individual intelligence. And when I say universal intelligence, I'm talking about what happens when you think about a friend and moments later the phone rings and it's your friend.
Mm.
Or you dream about someone one evening or one night and you wake up and that friend calls you, or you get an email from them, and they explain some of the things that were happening in your dream or were actually happening to them. So this interconnectedness, this somehow this universal knowing is all around us, and that is the thing that I try to help people get in touch with that in the workshop.
So how are we connected to universal intelligence?
I think it's by music. I look at music, music is, it's a vibration. It's varying rates of vibration that are the different notes that we distinguish. Vibration is the same as frequency. It's essentially a number. Each note has a different number.
We're here this afternoon at CAHI, the Voice of the Foothills, with Dr. Stephen Lindstedt. And if you do have any questions for him, you can call 530-885-3565 or 1-800-950-CAHI. The last four is 5244, for just if you want to call us and make any question you wish to Stephen Lindstedt that is here with us tonight. I want to ask you, Stephen, in the book you spoke about the heart having a frequency of 72 beats per minute.
That's correct. And this is part of the fun part.
But some hearts beat fast than others?
Yeah, it's an average.
Okay.
So if we just look at the average and we get back to how the heart is connected to the idea of number, I think that the heart is a number, it represents a number, but I think that the beating heart, when you look at it as coming from the photons of the sun, for example, and you look at the heartbeat of the sun has its own heartbeat, which is an 11-year solar flare cycle. So it's fun to multiply 72, the heartbeat, times the sun's heartbeat, and you get a number of 792. If you look at 792 as a musical note, you can actually hear 792 cycles per second. And if you were to add 10 octaves above that, it would be a frequency that you couldn't hear, but it'd be 7,920. Well, 7,920 happens to be the diameter of the Earth.
Oh my God, how did you come up with all these relationships? This is just so amazing.
Because when I look at the body as being frequencies, when I look at the different organs, like the large intestine has a different frequency than the small intestines. And the Germans and their advanced technology also looks at the body as different frequencies. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking at numbers. And when I see 72 and I'm looking at the heart and I look at the sun, it's just, I'm just swimming in numbers. So I see these relationships all the time.
I'm just amazed by all the connections you share. And you also have talked about the musical relationship between our heart, the earth, and the moon. And it's like there is this great, enormous symphony playing all around us, and we have stopped listening to it.
Yeah, I think in ancient times, this whole concept was very well known. I think in ancient times, people were very connected with the spirit of nature. Pythagoras referred to it as the music of the spheres. It's interesting now how researchers are catching up to this ancient wisdom. For example, if you look at the heart beating at 72 cycles per second, and again, take a harmonic of that, you find that at 7.2 cycles per second, you get the theta brain waves. And researchers are finding that when we are in a theta brain wave state, which is tied directly to the heart, that is a more intuitive, it's a more calm, it's a state where you gain a lot of intuition, and it just brings us into that frequency of nature. Now, 7.2 is in the neighborhood of Schumann waves, which are 7.8 cycles per second. Again, those are all within the averages that are connected to the heart. And Schumann waves, for those that don't know, is a way of looking at the vibration of the planet. Our Earth is surrounded by that frequency.
Stephen, on Friday you will do a free lecture demo at the Ambience at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8. So we want to invite all our audience here at the Voice of the Foothills to come and join you this Friday from 7 to 8 for a nice demo, and you can also ask questions. But if you can wait until Friday, please call us at 1-530-885-3565 right here at CAHI, the Voice of the Foothills. So, Stephen, if our heart is rhythmically synchronized to the Earth, the Sun, the Moon, the galaxy, and our intuitive mind, what other people have to say? Was this is your own finding? Who do you else have you been researching with?
Researchers at the Institute of Heart Math have done some very interesting studies, and I'd like to share one of those if I could.
Absolutely, love to.
Because I find this very fascinating. They took, I don't know how many subjects, but they would wire up their brains and their hearts to electrical monitors, and then the subject would be shown a series of photographs on a computer monitor. And when a very unpleasant image would come up on the screen, the heart would naturally react very erratically. It would change the brain rhythm, and it would change the frequencies of the heart. And then when a very pleasant picture would come up, a picture of nature, let's say, the heart rate would calm down, the brain rhythms would go back into sync with the heart. And what they discovered was that during that black period, when you're transitioning from one image to another, they would start to get a recording on the monitors that would correspond to the picture coming up next.
Without having seen the picture yet.
Right. So you haven't seen the picture, but the heart was already starting to have a reaction to the picture. And then, let's say, it would have a very chaotic reaction, and then a very negative picture would come up. A very calming reaction, then they would have a very calming, beautiful picture would come up. And from that, there were finding that the heart was reacting to something that the brain did not know. In fact, the brain was getting the information after the heart.
So the heart knows best.
So the heart knows best, and the heart is knowing before the mind catches up to what's going on.
Wow, that is just absolutely fascinating. There's a lot of, excitement about coming of age of higher consciousness. I mean, needless to say, it's 2012. It's just flying by in front of us. And I would say it can come a moment too soon. Some people believe it will just happen to us, but I think it has more to do with an age where people learn to get back in touch with their hearts. And as you said, the spirit of nature.
Right. And we do this by learning other ways of being. To have a shift in consciousness means that we have to, I believe, get more in touch with our heart's intuition. For example, when we talk about this, it really, for me, it's like when someone says something unpleasant to us and it hurts our feelings. I think what we immediately do is we use our brain consciousness to go through our library cards, I call them, of how to respond. And we learn these responses from our parents, from our upbringing, from childhood. And usually what happens is the brain will go through these library cards, pick one almost at random, and then use that as a way of reacting to the situation. And so usually what happens is we pick a response and we blurt something out, and we just generally make the problem or the situation worse. What I'm teaching is a couple things. The first is to go back into the heart and ask the heart, how should we respond? And when you do that, you find that because the heart already knows, the heart is already connected to where the other person is coming from. And so when you're connected to where the other person is coming from, then you respond in a compassionate and loving way. And that always changes the whole dynamics.
So what is the brain? I mean, what is the brain hardwired to, or how does it work?
Well, the brain actually is more of a tool, as Einstein said, for the heart. The brain is, in fact, hardwired for pleasure. Candace Pert in the 90s showed us that the brain contains millions of these opiate receptor sites. So Candace Pert was the one who wrote the book Molecules of Emotion.
Yes.
And she showed us that our body is filled with hundreds of, each cell has millions of these receptor sites, what she calls these molecules of emotions. And so every cell is vibrating and communicating with each other, all these emotions. And at that time, she had mapped out over 300 of these different emotional molecules.
Well, I bet women experience all 300 of these emotions in a 24-hour period.
Well, yeah, and the heart actually contains all of the receptor sites. So when we say the heart knows, the heart is like a mini brain. It has all the information coming from all the different cells. So women, yeah, they're naturally more attuned to the vibrations of the heart. They're more in touch with their emotions. On the other hand, women might say, well, that men, by comparison, might only be in touch with only two or three of these molecules every day, right? And what I think is happening is that the brain, the mind-brain, that I call it, really is hooked on pleasure. And so when we have an unpleasant emotion, we generally, the mind, the brain, wants to repress that. It usually doesn't want to acknowledge that that is happening. So you see that in the dynamics between men and women all the time, where the woman wants to digest and process her emotions, and the man is more likely than not to not want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also find that some people just had an experience and they have a hard time about letting go of that experience. They keep talking about the situation, like waiting for brain to help them integrate, but they can't. So they are stuck in what I call it a pattern. And I mean, certainly I have millions of them. And they keep surfacing like a layer of an onion. And I have found that when I have the opportunity to work using the process of the scalar heart connection, I have the ability to identify those feelings and emotions that have me trapped in old patterns so I can move forward and really you know, helping my conscious mind integrate and come to terms with the underlying emotional conflict that I learned at one point, and I was able to resolve it. So I'm really thrilled about this tool and what other people have experienced with this, or what brings you to share this with everybody in the world as a wonderful tool.
It goes back to the idea that when we repress our emotions, that the cells are still communicating with each other. The cells are very aware of the emotion, and the cells want to integrate it. They want to be recognized. They want to be able to extract the essence of their experiences. And as long as brain conscious doesn't allow for that connection, then we have a problem. We have a disconnect. And the cells in our body will continue to find ways to bring these subconscious feelings to consciousness, one way or the other. So it's either going to come out through a disease state, a discomfort, or it can come out in pain. It can come out in dreams. That's a very fascinating field, where the cells can actually bring images to the subconscious mind when the mind is asleep.
Absolutely.
So scalar heart connection is a way of helping people to get in touch with that subconscious material, if they're willing to go beyond what the rational brain is thinking and listen to the messages of the heart. That is a fascinating conversation, and it always brings relief. It always brings a certain aha moment to the person's experience.
And this is what you will teach on the workshop this Saturday, April 28th, at Ambience, located in Auburn Gold Country Mall. And if you need to more information about the workshop, or actually you need to make reservations, you can call Laura at 619-321-9459 or naturalhealinghouse.com, where you can find the information, scalarheartconnection.com, or call 760-777-7868. There will be also a lecture this Friday before the workshop from 7 to 8 at the same place at Ambience, located in Auburn Gold Country Mall. And this demo would be from 7 to 8 o'clock by Dr. Stephen Lindstedt and our other special guest tonight, Indy Lindstedt. I have a pleasure to introduce you, Indy. She is actually Stephen's daughter. And what an honor and pleasure to see a team of father-daughter working together in the work of connecting hearts. Just imagine a world where every heart is connected to every other heart. Imagine a global community whose heart is connected to the heart of our planet. Indy has worked with children. She's developing this process with the language for children. So when parents, friends, other practitioners want to learn this technique and apply it with children, we need to use their language, a less sophisticated, words that they can choose and resonate when they are doing the process. So Indy has been instrumental in working with Stephen and helping to work with the children. So Indy, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great. So tell me a little bit of your experience about working with children. Do you find it easier or more difficult to use this scalar heart connection process with them than grown-ups? Tell me a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, it is a little different. Children seem to be much more open to it. Children are better at just being and going with the flow more than adults. Adults seem to be a little more stuck in their ways. So children feel more naturally, and they embrace their emotions without the need to really rationalize them. And scalar heart connection allows the child to understand what that feeling is. A lot of times they have an emotion, but they're not really sure of what it is exactly, if they're happy, sad, or mad. So this process, it helps them kind of go through the confusion, and it's a good outlet. Sometimes feelings can manifest into something more or come out in unhealthy ways. So
yeah, that's a lot with children. acting out, and we don't know what is coming out from them. And that's usually what's happening with them. They're just acting out something they can't express. What are the sort of issues that you encounter? I mean, different ages, I'm sure, are different issues. But what are the sort of issues, like as a mom, and if I need to help my, you know, 6-year-old or 8-year-old, how would I come about with using this process?
Well, usually I find that the child might not be sure what the issue is, but they have an emotion. A lot of times it's something like, you know, my brother is mad at me, or I hate school. And so it can be basic, but as we let the heart kind of guide us through with the process, we find much deeper emotions come up. A lot of times it has to do with the relationship with the siblings or the parents, things that they don't necessarily feel safe sharing with the parent. It's actually, it's a good tool to help the kids express their feelings without feeling like they're going to get in trouble.
But as a mom, like if I want to get my son to talk to me about his feelings, I don't know how to approach them. So with this process, how, you know, especially if they're not in touch with the feelings, how do you find them to cooperate with you, to go there and do the process with you?
Right.
I'm hiring you, definitely.
Well, children think it's really fun. They think it's a game, and I call it the number game with a lot of clients.
The number game.
So as a mom, I think if you kind of present an opportunity to do the number game, there's a mom who used the opportunity to do it with her daughter, who came to her and said that she was feeling something she wanted to talk about, but she didn't want to because she thought she might get in trouble. So she used her her little duck stuffed animal, and she connected with the duck in a way that allowed her to express what she was feeling. So the duck was that
responding to the to
yeah,
the numbers.
Yeah, so the duck talked to the mom for her, and it was very sweet. It was about the mom not being around that much because she had to work, which a lot of moms can relate to. So it gave the daughter an opportunity to just share her feelings, and you know, it's important to communicate in families, so this is a great tool to do that.
That is beautiful. We're here with Dr. Stephen Lindstedt and Indy Lindstedt, and they're talking about their process, the Scalar Heart Connection. We are here at KAHI, the Voice of the Foothills. And if you do have a question for them, feel free to call us at 530-885-3565 or 1-800-950-CAHI, 5244. Indy, and do you have some examples of your experiences with children? Like, how does this process... I'm just intrigued how it works with kids. I mean, I understand it for adults, but I'm sure our audience is as curious as I am.
Sure. Well, let's see. I have a good example of a girl in middle school who the initial issue that we were working on was her comparing herself to her sister. Mm. And as we went on through the process, the heart guided us to tell us that the feeling she was holding it in the throat chakra, and the emotion that was associated with it was sadness.
How do they pick? Do they have numbers so they don't know? How does the process work?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So initially we say, okay, we're going to find where you're holding the feeling of discomfort. So choose a number 1 through 7, or have your heart help you choose a number 1 through 7.
Oh.
So she chose 3 for the throat. And then from there, we went to the emotions associated with the throat, and she got sadness. So we then found her imbalance statement that was, I am silenced. And to balance that with a positive statement, she got, I set and hold boundaries easily. So we went back and focused on the emotion of sadness, and she admitted that people in school had been calling her ugly. And so we talked about her speaking up for herself and maintaining healthy boundaries. And I think she realized that her comparing herself to her sister and actually caused her to kind of pick on her sister. So the feelings that she was experiencing in middle school from other kids calling her ugly started to affect her relationship with her sister, where, you know, her sister didn't really have anything to do with it. Hmm. So I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah, you know? certainly the jealousy and competition between siblings is an issue. Any family mm-hmm. that has more than one knows mm-hmm. that exists. Wow, that is beautiful. And so how does that session came to completion?
So for a girl in middle school, I think we can all look back on our middle school days and remember something we were being made fun of for. But to really think about speaking up for yourself and setting boundaries when you're 12 years old is something that a lot of adults are still learning to do. So,
oh, so true. So true. Wonderful. Yeah. Yes. That is excellent. And we have another example that I like to hear. I love to hear from Stephen. And he has, I want to thank you, Indy, so much for your experience with children and what you're doing for the children, because we need to do for this generation and the next seven generations.
Exactly.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And Stephen, I want to invite you here again to talk a little bit more about experiences with clients. I think they're all curious to know this process where you pick numbers to talk to your heart and then identify basically what is holding you back emotionally, and if anyone wants to call and find out what's going on and holding them back, they're welcome to call at 530-885-3565 right now here at the Voice of the Foothills. So Stephen, you had some cases I thought that might be interesting to share with the people in Auburn and Placerville.
Well, I have one. This is a woman. She's in her early 30s. And she came to me with an issue around a lack of focus. So she was just having problems focusing, I suppose. And when we asked her to pick the number, as Indy explained, this was what I refer to as the mind-brain belief. What is the belief that the mind-brain is holding, which is often an unconscious belief? She chose the number related to the statement that says, I look for circumstances to make me feel complete. So already we're getting information that goes beyond just having a lack of focus. So we're getting into another deeper layer. Then we have her pick another number related to what is the positive statement or the positive message that the heart wants to bring to consciousness. And the number that she picked was related to the statement that says, I go with the flow of life, and I choose with clarity and focus ways to manifest my dreams.
Hmm.
So in this case, the heart is giving us the information about what we need to do to shift this belief. But it's amazing how the system, you'll notice that the heart is saying that I choose with clarity and focus. Well, a lack of focus was the issue. So when the heart gives us a statement that directly relates to the issue, it goes to validating the whole process, because the person says, wow, that's amazing that I came up with that statement that's so related to what's going on. So at this point, she was becoming emotional about wanting to quit her job, but feeling confused about an underlying need for security. She was conflicted about needing to or feeling like she needed to rely on her husband when, on the other hand, she had her own career objectives. So to get to the deeper underlying root of this, we needed to have her pick a number related to an earlier experience to see, well, what was the genesis of this issue? And she picked a number related to genetic and ancestral, which was actually related to her mother's side, whom she recalled referred to herself as being concerned about being cared for by her father. So this whole conflict about having her own career or being cared for by the husband was a generational issue, and she now became aware of that. The hard message was to trust that all is provided. And from that, she developed her own statement, her own positive statement, that was, I trust in myself that I can accomplish whatever I want to achieve. Whatever I trust in will happen. And 2 weeks later, she, in fact, quit her job. And after another week after that, she was hired by another company doing something that was a lot more fulfilling for her. And then she now feels very focused on her vision and the plans for her future.
Wow, I think every woman around can relate to that, and especially with those ancestral, you call them?
The genetic ancestral.
Yeah, is that I can feel like, yeah, some issues like grandmother pass into the mother, then the daughter, and we pass this into our daughter. So how beautiful is to be able to change those ancestral, you know, perhaps non very serving response and change them for more positive ways of reacting and seeing things with clarity. So beautiful work, Stephen.
That's why I'm so excited about Indy's work with children, because now we're reaching down to the foundation where we need to, where we can make the most change in terms of changing future generations and how those generations connect with each other and connect with a global community, connecting with the planet and the health of the planet for the future.
That is absolutely beautiful. I want to really both thank you for being here today and invite our audience to join you on Friday, this Friday 27, from 7 to 8 o'clock at Ambience, located in the Auburn Gold Country Mall. Stephen and Indy will be giving a free demo lecture, so you can come and join them there. If you're interested in the workshop, he will be teaching on Saturday, April 28, from 9:30 to 4:30, and is also at the Ambience and the Auburn Gold Country Mall. And if you need to read more about this, please visit scalarheartconnection.com. Or you can just come and pay at the door. I mean, we will just be open arms and open heart welcoming you to come and learn this fabulous technique for yourself, for your children. Or if you are a practitioner, this is a wonderful tool to have in your toolbox. And part of these Scalar Heart Connection sessions, sometimes I notice that you give positive action, something to reinforce the change of the person at home, such as doing some maybe massages or maybe some visions that they need to do. But you also use essential oils and homeopathic remedies. And I want to say they're also available at scalarheartconnection.com or naturalhealinghouse.com. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. Kahi has been wonderful, and want to wish you all a wonderful evening full of heart and joyous feelings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.